Garden for the Environment, Citrus Stewards, and Nature in the City. And they've come together to see what we can do here in our localized environment to meet the city's environmental goals. And they've been working with the City Department of the Environment. And about a year ago, it sort of got delayed because of COVID. Sharp funded their projects, and here we are. So turn it over to Snap.
All right. Well, we have a show to share with you, but maybe first we'll just take a minute to introduce ourselves, and then we'll start the show. So I'm Amber Hasselbring, the Executive Director of Nature in the City. Nature in the City has been around since 2005, and I'm so grateful to be here tonight. And we'll share more in a minute. I'll pass it on to Ildiko.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us. My name is Ilda Kopalani. I'm the Executive Director of Sutro Stewards. And I'm really excited about this collaboration and to share with you what we've come up with over the course of the year. Trina.
All right. Great. And I'm Trina Lopez. I'm the Manager of Adult Public Programs at Garden for the Environment. And, you know, just super excited to be a part of this. We'll tell you more about it. We're having an event tomorrow, so just really happy that we'll have more going on tomorrow. As you know, Garden for the Environment has been at 7th and Lawton for, I'm better at remembering how many years, 31 and a half years now. So we're excited to just continue our good work of being a teaching garden in the city, and just look forward to continuing that for a long, long time, as long as we can.
Great. With that, I will share my screen, but since we're a small group and it's intimate and people, it's late in the day and it's a Friday, so feel free to stop us at any time and just, you can either raise your hand or just chime in and ask a question. So we'll be looking for audiences, for you guys to ask us to stop and repeat or whatever you need. We're here to help us all have a good time as we're setting aside our time to do this. So, okay, here, share screen. Here we go. Okay, I think this is yours, Trina, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure is. So, just to reiterate and offer some specifics this evening. So, we are the Sunset Nature Advocacy Partnership. SNAP for short, and it's a new collaboration between the three groups, Garden for the Environment, Sutro Stewards, and Nature in the City. And of course, in different ways, shapes, and forms, we all have known about each other, or in some cases have worked with each other. But with the generous support of SHARP, it has really helped to solidify and just formed a strong foundation for relationships between these three organizations in the Inner Sunset area. And so some of the things that we're trying to do with SNAP is really highlighting nature-based solutions to climate change. So in our own individual ways as organizations, we are both, beautifying the city and doing local work, but we're also trying to look at the bigger picture of climate change and try to educate people about what they can do and empower people about what they can do in the city and even in their own backyards. And we're trying to do this in fun, in stimulating, in interesting ways. So as some of you may already know, we had an educational panel a few months ago in October. And tomorrow we're going to have an event, a composting event called Love Your Compost at Garden for the Environment. We're going to have some guided walks and hikes. And all of these, we try to have hands-on experience. Even in the first event, which was a panel, we did some potting up of some young plants that Ildiko brought from Sutro Stewards. So we're really trying to get people engaged outdoors and let them know of ways that they can help mitigate climate change and learn about the city and learn about its flora and fauna in our neighborhood, in this Inner Sunset neighborhood. And what's really exciting about all of this is that we're learning more about one another's organizations and about also one another's responsibilities within those organizations. And so we're really trying to build upon the strengths that we each have, because of course, we're each focusing on different kinds of things. And we have in some ways, maybe slightly different demographics, but also trying to bring our audiences together, because together we can only be stronger. And so pun intended, we're trying to do some cross-pollination of our organization so that people really get engaged in ways, and they can also find the things that really resonate with them that maybe they want to go out and do. And so we're also trying to dovetail what we do and share some of the messaging about San Francisco's Climate Action Plan, which was just released not too long ago. Well, the new version. So it was updated in 2021, and a kickoff event was just done a few weeks ago. So there's a healthy ecosystems part of this plan, and that's really what we're going to try to emphasize and support in a lot of our activities. And we just really want to say to you how grateful we are to SHARP for your support. I think all three organizations have been supported individually by SHARP in many different ways. But the funding that you're offering, that you've given us for SNAP, has just really bolstered that and really helped push us in a new direction with having some solidarity within the organizations and trying to get a stronger voice out to the folks in our neighborhood and throughout the city. And so we just want to continue to make it stronger and better as we go along.
Beautiful. Okay, I can only advance. I think, Eldika, you got this one, yeah?
Yeah, so I'll just talk a little bit about what we've done so far in the year or so that we've been collaborating with each other. We spent the first few months getting to know each other, planning, shaping our projects and what we wanted to do together. As Trina said, this has really been meant to cross-pollinate all our different talents and skills and the niches that we uniquely cover that when put together create a complete picture of urban biodiversity, ecosystem health, and citizen action and engagement. This is an image on this slide of the very first event that we held, which was in October. It was the kickoff event. We invited Cindy Comerford from the San Francisco Department of the Environment, who is project managing the update of the San Francisco Climate Action Plan. And we really talked about what it is that our organizations do that are climate mitigation strategies, like working with natural solutions to climate change, how it sequesters. So that was a really fun and interesting event. Since then, and we've also shared content among all of our audiences, so posting monthly events on all of our newsletters about our collaboration. We put together a web page that, you know, showcases the same thing. It's another outreach tool. Nature in the City has gifted 100 maps to our two organizations, and these are the beautiful, I'm sure you've seen it, but these are the beautiful, like hand-drawn, designed with love and care, maps of sort of the natural history of San Francisco, like including streams that are both daylighted and underground, and corridors for wildlife and butterflies and birds. Native plant nurseries are on this map. I mean, it should be on everybody's wall as far as I'm concerned. So we were really lucky to receive some of those. And then Garden for the Environment. So both Nature in the City and Sutro Stewards, and probably Garden for the Environment, but have intern programs. So we have young adults, we have high schoolers come in, help us do our work, and we in turn are educating those young people. And Garden for the Environment is a teaching garden, right? So Garden for the Environment has been able to offer our interns free classes, free enrollment in their educational workshop. So that's an example of sort of how our niches can support each other. We've been meeting regularly, which has also just been fun. There's like an example is, you're going to hear more about this from Amber later, but Amber's been part of launching the Climate Career Corps, a youth internship program through a partnership with Enterprise for Youth. And Sutro Stewards is going to be a part of that. And I might not have known about that amazing opportunity had it not been for this regular discussions that we've been having around our SNAP collaboration. So there's like really pointed and specific collaboration that's happening towards specific goals. And then there's just really cool inspiration and information sharing that happens because we're talking. So that's been really fun. And then we're also building lists of attendees and media outreach partners to get our, and when I say attendees, I mean attendees to the SNAP events, to get this information about the San Francisco Climate Action Plan and what you can just do to support its implementation, as well as all the work that we do in our three organizations. And the cool thing is the work that we do in our three organizations are strategies that will be supported with sufficient funding if this climate action plan is implemented. So that's one of the things that I find so inspiring about the climate action plan is that it is highlighting and buttressing efforts that our organizations have been involved in for decades around healthy ecosystems. So I think we can move on to the next slide.
Advancing too quickly. Okay, thank you so much, Ildiko. I have a slide about Save the Dates, our events and Save the Dates. So in addition to the lovely conversations and the planning that we're doing and the really intentional thought we're giving to how we can support each other's programs, we thought that it would be really fun to have these collaborative events where our leadership can learn from, you know, how each other are running events. We can share information across our audiences. And then we can get new people involved in new elements of the movement this way. So Ildiko told you a little bit about our SNAP collaboration kickoff at Garden for the Environment. It was a beautiful panel. There's so much education. Greg Garr came and showed his historic photo collection, and Dennis was there, and some of the Nature in the City, some of the board members of the other organizations came. So it was a really sweet way that the community got updated. And there seemed to be a lot of just energy behind a new idea of a collaborative group forming. And I think that is probably because, you know, even myself, I was like, oh, do we need to have a new group form? Because it doesn't happen all the time. But then they were saying that because we're very strong organizations and so place-based in the Sunset, that having a new group form for nature advocacy here was really important. So I got behind them. I got changed my mind on that one. So tomorrow we're going to be all going to be at Garden for the Environment for a Love Your Compost event, which I'm so excited to see like the audience and all of us digging our hands in that compost and greeting the worms and talking about how much we love this beautiful resource for our building our soil and learn about how Garden for the Environment. So they have a beautiful young woman who has been through their Get Up program, and she's going to be the lead, you know, taking the lead in educating people. So she's just lovely, super talented and motivated. So Sharon will be there with the three of us tomorrow and others. We're really excited about that one. And then if you're interested in native plants and propagation and you've never been to Sutro Stewards Nursery, you have to come to this next one. It's on Wednesday, March 30th, and it'll be about native plants and their roles as host plants. For example, this is a green hair street butterfly, and its host plant is the coast buckwheat. So we're just going to be talking about the joy of growing little seedlings into big plants that make big, big effects and ripples in our ecosystems. So come out to that and help us share this information out to the SNAP membership. I was so excited I joined SNAP last year. I was like, I need to be a member of SNAP it's late. It's Friday. Sharp. So I joined. I just think it's such a cool organization. And then our third and final event of this series is going to be a Green Hair Street Corridor Restoration Open House. So we really want to showcase how the restoration work we've done for the Green Hair Street Butterfly in the Sunset has bolstered ecosystems, stabilized soils, and sequestered carbon. And we want to have it kind of be like a dialogue and workshop session, showcasing, but also giving a chance, giving people a chance to have those deeper discussions around what our responsibilities are to, you know, our place and climate actions. So we created a webpage at Nature in the City. So if you go to natureinthecity.org/snap, you'll see all of our events and advocacy alerts, and then links to our different websites where people can sign up for our newsletters. So we're going to keep that updated with anything new. And then we decided we wanted to add a couple of slides aside from our collaboration, but also inspired by it, that talk about the other work that our organizations are doing in the city. So I'm going to pass it over to Trina to talk about her slides first. And Trina has been such a pleasure to work with. She's just like a true educator, where she's very balanced, and she's very descriptive. She'll just talk you through everything so that you feel safe and comfortable with what's going on. And that's like, I can't imagine a better experience of learning is to, you know, other, you know, Trina as an educator, I'd be like, yes, if I went back to school, I want Trina to be my advisor and professor. So pass it on to you.
Wow, thank you so much, Amber. I'm just very touched by your introduction, and it's been really lovely to get to know both you and Ildiko in this process. So what I'm going to do right now is, you can see this big roster here of events. And so, as you all know, Garden for the Environment is San Francisco's teaching garden. And so we're constantly have different workshops going. Some are one session workshops. Some are short series. We have a series coming up. We actually have a couple. And this is probably the time of year when we have the most diverse programming. So I'll just walk you through some of what we're doing right now. So as you may know, we have volunteer hours every Saturday and Wednesday. And those are actually the only 2 days of the week when we're fully staffed at the garden. We do have staffing at other times when we have our field trip programs that are going. But we would love to have you all come volunteer if that's something you would like to do. So our volunteer hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on those days. And right now we're doing it by primarily signups only. We're still trying to limit our group sizes because of COVID. That may change in the near future, just depending how things go. That said, if you were all to come by, we wouldn't turn you away. So it's kind of like an airplane, you know, where we get all our seats get booked and then people don't show up. So we would love to have you come volunteer. So some of the workshops we're offering, we have free urban composting workshops every month. And I am still just completely amazed that even though everybody in San Francisco, theoretically speaking, has access to a green composting bin, we still get people every single month who want to come and learn about composting. So doing backyard composting or doing worm composting at home, or even just learning a little bit more about what they should be putting in their green bin. So it's really inspiring to know that people are concerned about the environment and wanting to learn more about really kind of the wonder of compost. So we do have a rainwater harvesting workshop, which may seem a little weird because it's so dry, but that's actually the exact reason we should be having rainwater harvesting workshops, is so when it does rain, we are educating people about how to harness this precious resource that they can use in their gardens and in their homes. So that's coming up on the 19th. Then we have a three-part spring sustainable gardening series. We have it three times a year, actually, and it teaches people the basics of basically like landscape gardening or an ornamental plant gardening, so how to do it in an environmentally friendly and climate-appropriate way in San Francisco. We also have almost monthly Grow Your Own Food workshops, so we have that coming up. We have one coming up tomorrow, actually, and then I have the dates listed for the next one. Beginning beekeeping, we have that. That's always a hit. It's been sold out for weeks. I will post a second one for a May 21st date. And then we have our big six-part Dig In Edible Gardening series coming up beginning in on March 26th. And I have the picture of the chickens there. And this is something Amber learned from me. She said, do you have chickens? And I said, no, I don't have chickens and the garden doesn't have chickens. But there's a fantastic couple who does gardening as Fog City Gardener, Jamie Chan and Blas Herrera. And they bring their chickens to the garden and they tell people about how you can start raising chickens in your own backyard. So I look forward to just having the chickens in the garden and being able to hold them and feed them and whatnot. So that's really fun. And then we have bouquet making coming up. So we have two sessions on April 30th coming up. You can go to the next slide. Okay. And some of the other things we're doing, so that's really kind of the nitty gritty of the workshops that are coming up. So we have a pretty full calendar for spring. We also have a youth field trip program. This happens every year. During COVID, my former coworker, Jamie Wallum, did a fantastic job at actually doing live streaming field trips for kids so they could see the garden, but they were all in their own homes or sometimes in classrooms coming to us via Zoom. But it's very exciting because we're starting to be able to return to having in-person field trips. And I think our first one is coming up on the 24th. And so my new coworker, I've known him for a long time, but Chris Krupa, he's now the head of our educational, our youth educational programming. So he's coordinating that. So super excited about that. And kind of dovetailing both with the efforts of Sutro Stewards and Nature in the City, we're starting to plant more native California plants. And we have a hillside that really needed some help. Because as you may know, at Garden for the Environment, basically half the garden is literally on the foothill of Mount Sutro. And we're having, you know, some issues with erosion and wanted to get some plants in there. But we wanted to be sure that we're bolstering the native plant ecosystem. So we're doing that right now and we're excited about it. And another thing we're also doing is we're really supporting our fall 2021 GetUp graduates. So that's the Gardening and Composting Educator Training Program. So as part of their commitment to that program, they have to complete a 40-hour gardening community service project. And it can either be at GFE or it can be at other organizations. So we have had Sutro Stewards and Nature in the City host our GetUp grads at different times to complete their hours. And so that's one way that we were collaborating a little bit in the past, but we hope to have more folks working with your two organizations. And just a note, too, is that Ildico and a couple of different folks from Nature in the City have presented, Ildico presented on a panel about land use, and this is this year for the first time on Zoom, two different times, and our GetUp students were just really inspired by what you had to share, Ildico, and just your vast knowledge and just your the introspection you have about the way that you view you know, our ecosystems and also just the passion that you really have for that. And so that's what we need. We need people to be inspired and excited about things. And so in supporting our graduates, that's what we're trying to do with the help of other organizations in San Francisco. So then there's the next, this slide, this is my last one. It's just a few folks kind of with their hands in the dirt, their hands in the plants, just really getting in there. These are all photos that have been taken within the last couple of months. So on the top right and the top left are two of our GetUp graduates from 2021. So McKenna is helping prune a salt bush, a native bush that we have. It was really having some trouble. Half of it kind of died off suddenly, and we were trying to investigate what was going on. So she was helping prune it back to really get to the root of the problem is what she was doing. And then Annika is helping with maintaining some Chinese greens that we had growing. We had a winter fruit tree pruning class, so you see people getting some hands-on experience on the bottom left, and then some folks doing some urban composting on the bottom right, and two other folks helping with a little herb spiral that we're getting established. So all different kinds of activities we have at Garden for the Environment, and we help people learn along the way too when they volunteer. Okay, so those are my slides, and what I'm going to do now is just introduce Ildiko, and Ildiko is going to talk about Sutra Stewards. And again, I just want to say what a joy it's been to get to know you better, Ildiko. I just the deep knowledge you have of you know, our native plants, and the passion you have for caring for them, and the concern that you have for our, for helping, you know, preserve and grow our ecosystems is just so palpable every time I talk to you. And just hearing how you share that information with the GetUp students and the land use panel, just, they're deeply inspired by what you had to say. And I think your words just really resonate with them. And that you're exactly the kind of person we need to inspire, in this case, it's our adult learners, but everyone. So just really grateful to be getting to know you better and learning more about what you're doing in the community, Sutra Stewards, and in some of your past efforts as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Trina. Really great getting to know you better too. So yeah, I am very passionate about native plants, native ecology, and all the ways that we as humans can bolster and enhance habitat and bring nature home simply by growing and planting and supporting the plants that have evolved in the home that we share with them. And so that's, you know, that's why I was going to say love being the executive director of Sutra Stewards, but why it means so much to me. It's an opportunity for me to express the passion and the love that I have, and the hope that I feel after, you know, a day. This is a photo of one of our restoration sites. So a day restoring native plant understory habitat in under an invasive eucalyptus canopy. So this is at the Clarendon Corridor is what we call it. There's our first on-site trail street, our first on-street gathering place at a trailhead. Is if you were to just sort of go right through those trees towards Clarendon, you would find it. And then this is the one of our older restoration sites. And you can see down where there's more of the brown there, that's just because the plants haven't grown in yet. But this is where we've done a lot of young little plantings. So Sutra Stewards was founded in 2006, and it was founded by a neighbor, Craig Dawson, who grew. And as an adult, he got this place. Well, they can't access it. There are no trails. And so we got together a group of neighbors and passionate people, and they started building trails by hand. And we do that today. So now there's 5.5 miles of multi-use trails on Mount Sutro that were all built and designed by volunteers with hand tools mostly. I've been to some of these volunteer programs. They're every first and third Saturday, 9 to 12. And it is hard work, and it's incredible to see like the analysis that happens in the moment when, you know, they're building their trail one way, and then all of a sudden there's a big rock or a boulder. What do we do with that? So there's all this problem solving that happens in the moment, all of this like, geography and physics and using weights and using tools and just the right, like, I don't understand it, but it's incredible. And opening up the mountain in that way, with these little passageways through the trees, a lot of plants that had thought to have been extirpated or no longer exist or grow in San Francisco were discovered, or at least other populations were discovered, like the California pipevine, which is the host plant for the pipevine swallowtail butterfly. It's like the only plant that this butterfly can lay its eggs on. Or bleeding hearts is another really special plant that's rare in this city. Fairy bells, Solomon, Slim Solomon. There's all these plants that I was showing pictures to you of them now, but you'll just have to come to one of our restoration days, which are every Wednesday and Thursday we do Restoring Native Habitat volunteer days. So 9:30 to 11:30. Usually we're in the nurseries on Wednesdays, and then we're out planting and weeding on Thursdays. So that's really the backbone of our organization and how we care for Mount Sutro in a sustained way. But I'm super excited this year. Currently, right now, I'm looking for someone. If you have any ideas to help us launch our brand new Health in Nature program. So you've probably read that there's increasing research coming out just quantifying the amazing benefits, health benefits, both mental, physical, emotional, that having regular access and being in nature has for us. So it quickens the healing process of physical diseases. It brings us a sense of ease. It helps people recover from PTSD. It's essential for the nature, is essential for the healthy development of children. So we're doing a partnership with UCSF where we're going to be providing nature immersion experiences for positive health outcomes. And right now I'm actually looking to find a person to help launch this program. So if you know of anybody, direct them to our website. Directions for applying are there. And then we also have an apprenticeship, like college-aged apprenticeship, young adult apprenticeship, and a high school summer program. So while we're doing all of this, you know, stewardship of the mountain, which is really principles for how we need to be stewarding our home in general, not just Mount Sutro, but around the world, we're also educating young people on this. So we've been able to, I think I said this already, but our apprentices are offered free classes at Garden for the Environment. So that's a way that our collaboration has helped the work that we do individually as Sutro stewards. And then I'm excited for you all to hear more about the Climate Career Corps from Amber later that Sutro Stewards is also a part of. So we can advance to the next slide. So just some upcoming events, our native plant sale, that's another example of sort of the niches fitting in nicely together. So Garden for the Environment is planting native plants and emphasizing that more and more at their site, and we have plants for them to plant. And then March through May, we'll be holding wildflower walks on Mount Sutro, so there's another opportunity for people to get more informed and really get down into the details of our native local ecology, which is just, it's this, you know, it's like people want to travel to Bali for excitement. I say, like, get on your knees and just look at what's growing around you. It's so thrilling. You don't have to get on an airplane. And then in June, keep your eyes out. We're going to be having some free public workshops. So we're doing a green infrastructure workshop. This is another example of a climate mitigating strategy with natural solutions. So it's basically how to manage water using nature. That's sort of what we'll be discussing at that workshop. And then we'll have another workshop about the rare plants of Mount Sutro, some of these plants that were discovered by some of our early founders like Craig Dawson and Jake Sig. So those will be happening later on in June, and they're actually going to be given by our apprentices, the two young adults who've been with us, who will have been with us for almost a year at that point. All of these will be available to sign up, both our volunteer programs and these events, on our website, and I'd also love to see you at our native plant sale on the 16th. So that's us, and now I'll introduce Amber. So I actually met Amber when I was still in college. I was doing a project on what it would be like to create a wildlife corridor connecting Golden Gate Park to the Presidio via Arguello Boulevard, and Amber, I forget who told me, but someone was like, you have to talk to Amber Hasselbrink. She's the butterfly lady. She knows everything about butterflies. And so I think I called her on the phone and we had I interviewed her for research about this project. What sort of plants would I need to plant to bring butterflies safe passage from, you know, one big open space to another big open space in San Francisco? And from there, we became friends. And I worked for Amber as was one of her gardening helpers. And it's just, yeah, like the So I have both a personal relationship with Amber and a professional relationship with Amber. And it's just, it's really amazing to be able to bridge what sometimes doesn't get bridged. Like the professional relationship sometimes just stays purely professional. And Amber has been such a source of information and support for me. And it's just really lovely to be able to continue to collaborate in all these new exciting ways and like spin ideas off of each other and be inspired. So let's hear from Amber.
Thank you so much, Ildiko. I agree and appreciate you so much. It's been amazing just to see you blossom into your career self over the years, starting with the Arguello Boulevard project and getting a chance to actually do that on Mount Sutro and, you know, create all that beauty. So thank you so much. And I love this collaboration too. It's so much fun. So I wanted to just share with you some of the things that Nature in the City is working on strengthening of our existing programs. Our habitat stewardship. We do work days all across the city every weekend. So we're out there in different parts of the city, pulling weeds, planting plants, trimming back things, watering, and we invite you to join us. You can always go to our website, natureinthecity.org, and look at our calendar and find out where we are and come meet us there. Our Wild SF Gardening Program, this is our fees for service portion of what we do. We're growing habitats in people's backyards. And our program is expanding from 2 days of service a week to 4 days. So we're hiring a new staffer and we're getting a new batch of interns to help with that, who will also be trained on fruit tree pruning and rainwater harvesting and maybe even beekeeping if they can get a spot at Garden for the Environment. So we're really thrilled to see how this program grows and create more of those little habitat stepping stones in private spaces, as well as the public ones that our Habitat Stewardship Program stewards. And we're also, our membership program has really expanded into all these beautiful walks, events, and advocacy. So I wanted to let you know that for Valentine's Day, we have a special membership offering. If you give a gift membership, our membership director will hand deliver it in San Francisco to one of your loved ones, which I think is really special. I just gave a gift membership to one of my best friends and her family because I think they'll really use it and enjoy it. So I just think that's a really cool thing that our membership coordinator worked up for us. And our walks are fabulous. They're always free. But what we do is they're limited attendance, and we always send our announcements out to our members. And then our members take the slots and they bring a friend or whatever they do. But if you're a member, you get those early announcements and then you can come on our nature walks, and they're expert led and they're all over the city. And they're really, you know, just what Ildiko said before, just peaceful, enlivening, inspiring, and educational. Really good opportunities to connect with others who are like-minded. And we are also going in brand new directions. We're on the cusp of major change, and it's terrifying to me and also really invigorating. We're in contract negotiations right now with BART because they have these escalator canopies that are designed for living roofs. And they have 22 of them that they're planning to install up and down Market Street. And some of you might know we have a big project on Market Street about the Western Tiger Swallowtail Butterfly. And it lays its eggs on the London Plane trees. But what this would do is essentially create a connected set of habitat islands that would benefit the butterfly and so many other animals that frequent, you know, our really dense urban spaces, and create a reservoir of safety, an oasis, hopefully of water and nectar and the resources that they need. So these are going to be pretty big. They're going to be 30 by 60. And so we're working on a project with BART right now to develop the design, get the permits in place, and then hopefully install the two first canopy ones There are only two built right now, but eventually there may be up to 22 down the street. And then Ildico mentioned our Climate Career Corps, which is another really thrilling, exciting direction for us. We're working in partnership with Enterprise for Youth. And what Nature in the City's part is we're leveraging our network of environmental organization partners, including Sutro Stewards and Garden for the Environment, Friends of the Urban Forest, Golden Gate National Parks, all of them. And we're just, you know, calling them and saying, we have these brilliant, beautiful, you know, well-trained, well-coached, underserved San Francisco high schoolers who want to be in your shoes. They want to be part of the climate movement. They want climate jobs. They want to know that they can be inspired to make change where they live. And they need mentors. They need to know where to go. They need to know what to do. So we're taking a batch of really excited, talented young people who've already been through 1 year of garden training through the program, and we're placing them with host sites. So we're looking to place 50 youth this summer for our launch summer in about 30 host sites. And so far we have about 18 host sites confirmed and 35 youth placed. So we're well on our way, and March 15th is our big deadline. So if you know of other climate related professionals, please send them my way and I will reach out to them and invite them into this really exciting program. And I think, what comes next? I got so excited. Oh, yes, yes. I'll just share a little bit about this image because we all love it. And you probably have seen it before. It's a collection of Greg Garr from the Western Neighborhoods Project. And it's an interdune freshwater pond in the Sunset District, right near the intersection of Sunset Boulevard and, where does it say? Looking West, 1910. So present site of Sunset Boulevard. So we're not exactly sure what the intersection was, but what a beautiful remnant dune idea of what the sunset was. And, you know, we can bring back little patches of that and help to celebrate our natural heritage together. But we also wanted to share some of the ways that this partnership has really benefited us as organizations and what we've learned from each other. So has anyone, and just kind of a discussion, also a great time for Q&A, I think. You guys agree?
Yeah.
Does anyone want to chime in?
Well, I could just start by saying this photo. I'd never seen this photo before. So this is the kind of thing that inspires me to do the work that I do. And the idea of a freshwater pond in dunes, which you think of as being, you know, full of salt and sea breeze, and just knowing that this city was once a place of water. There was once water here all year round on the surface of the land. And there is a seasonal creek that runs through Mount Sutro called Woodland Canyon Creek. And after a big storm, you can hear it running, but you can never see it because it's just entirely covered in overgrowth and invasive blackberries. And I would love to one day develop the partnership with the city of San Francisco and UCSF to be able to restore that creek bed. So to me, it's not about, you know, going back to where we were before development, but it's taking stock of the reality that we're in now, including the climate crisis. And taking the measures that we can locally to writ large make a difference. And to me, one of those is like bringing water back to the surface from these underground culverts that are stuck in concrete pipes. So, you know, I learned about this spot from this photo from Amber today.
Do you have a list of plants we could use in a very small garden to extend the butterfly path?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So there's dune plants that are just really wet. They would do really well. And you may need to install a gopher cage, depends on what, you know, what your yard is subject to for the underground conditions. But Seaside Daisy is a great one. It was in one of my slides. That's one of the best nectar sources for the green hairstreak butterfly. And then Coast Buckwheat is the larval food plant for the green hairstreak. And it's a great one for other pollinators as well. It has a flower that has probably 150 tiny flowers on it. So there's a lot of water and pollen resources in there for many different pollinators. So those two are the top two. And then there's other plants that are super useful in that kind of environment, like sticky monkey flower will do pretty well all over the city in different conditions. Or one of my favorites is called dune knotweed. And one of my mentors used to say to his students, do not weed, because we don't want to pull this one out, guys. But it looks a little bit like rosemary, and it sort of blankets and covers the dunes and has a tiny white flower. It's also a nectar source for critters in the spring. So those couple are fun, a small assortment.
Yeah, I just, every time I talk to Amber and Ildiko, I'm learning something new. And hearing Ildiko talk at our land use panel for GetUp, again, I just learned so much about the Mount Sutro area and the history of it. And also just hearing you talk, Ildiko, about, you know, the issue of having non-native species, particularly eucalyptus, but still making the effort to try to create that native understory, is that idea of just trying to find what balance we can in a, you know, because the trees are too big to take out, and just learning about the different issues around that, and just about you know, that we can have both. We don't need to necessarily strip the eucalyptus away, but we just continue helping to, you know, build our native flora and fauna. And that's one of the most important things we can do. And so hearing you talk about that, of course, how I'm expressing it is not nearly as nuanced as it is when you do, but just hearing about being able to, you know, live with the circumstances we have of all the changes that have come from people bringing in plants from other places, but knowing that not all is lost in that effort, that we still have these beautiful, rare, in some cases, native plants, and people who are just so dedicated to preserving them, and people who are so talented at building these trails, is just really fascinating. And so I've learned a lot about what's going on not all that far away from Garden for the Environment. What's interesting about GFE is we're so locally based. We're, you know, primarily focused on this one little spot because we teach from there and we have our demonstrations gardens there. But to hear about what both Nature in the City and Sutro Stewards are doing as they, you know, move out a little bit more in sort of, you know, moving along on their mission, is really fascinating to me too, because like, I love Garden for the Environment. It's like my second home, but we're so place-based. And not to say that you're not, but your place is a little bit more expansive than ours is, and just learning about that. And then, but also the potential connectivity, interconnectivity of all the spaces that we take care of is just inspiring all the time. So.
Yeah, just to build on that, I'm a little jealous. Actually, I'm very jealous of our interns that get to go to Garden for the Environment and learn about the fruit tree pruning and things, because I feel like I kind of taught myself a lot of how to do that, or YouTube videos and different things. But Garden for the Environment bringing in, you know, the best, most gentle, interesting people in our city to really showcase, you know, the skills and mastery of gardening, because it's a really specialized trade, you know, and it's one that's kind of underappreciated. But I feel like having, you know, the general public and those that really want to professionalize gardening to have such a great resource like GFE, it's been really nice to go. And I look forward to tomorrow's workshop a lot, to learn more about because you guys are experts at how to teach about urban composting, because you've done it for years every month, which is just really exciting to me, you know, and that there's new ways to think about it and new people to bring into the movement always. And like Ildiko, you said that we have these solutions for such a long time, these healthy ecosystem strategies, but we always need to re-educate people and bring new people into the movement and keep ourselves motivated and inspired by these things. And so I really see that you guys are great examples of doing that, and the SHARP team, that you're committed to education and recruitment just like we are.
Ildiko, someone asked me recently about an extension of the Sutro Trails extending down past Clarendon towards Laguna Honda Hospital. Is that part of Sutro, or is that connect to Sutro?
It's not technically, but there has been for decades a vision about the Twin Peaks bioregion, which is, if you look at an aerial map of the city of San Francisco, Mount Sutro and Twin Peaks and Laguna Honda and Mount Davidson all are really quite close to each other, and they're bisected by these, you know, these concrete highways and fast moving cars. So, you know, in my, you know, idealist imagination, those would slowly be replaced with, you know, maybe we start by some native median plantings in the middle of the street, and maybe there's like a bridge with plantings that go over the street. Maybe we decide we don't actually need to have cars running on a certain side of the street, and we can actually create connectivity both for people and for wildlife. For all the, you know, I think one thing that is sort of a misnomer and detrimental to us is the way that we are in the habit of seeing humans as separate from nature, and we have our built environment and then we have our natural environment, and they're two separate things. And I think all that's done is made our own lives less rich and less healthy, and more stressful and more dangerous, and is ultimately one of the reasons why we have allowed ourselves to get to this point of ecological collapse that we are teetering on the brink of right now, because we don't see ourselves as being hurt when we hurt the environment, but actually we are. We are hurting ourselves when we don't work collaboratively with the natural world. And that's what Garden for the Environment and Nature in the City and Sutro Stewards is trying to do, is work collaboratively with our ecosystems and with the animals and the plants that we share the city with. And so I spent much of my youth really worried about climate change and being a climate activist, and really talking about what we needed to stop doing. Like, we needed to stop driving fossil fuel-based cars, especially single occupancy. We needed to stop using electricity that was fueled by fossil fuels. But then when I discovered habitat restoration, I was like, oh, this is the other side. This is what we need to start doing. This is the yes. And so to be able to all three of us work together and share all these ideas with each other, it makes our work more powerful. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to offer these solutions to San Franciscans and to our neighbors. And then connecting that with the Climate Action Plan, it comes, at least in my personal history, it comes full circle, like back to, you know, my young adulthood when I was being a climate activist. And now we're finally recognizing, like, you know, on the global scale, that natural solutions to climate change and habitat restoration are ready there for us to bring about 37% of extra carbon out of the atmosphere globally. So these are things we're already doing. And I just went on a long tangent, but there we have it.
Sophia, did you say earlier there was a question in the sign-ups for the meeting?
Yeah, there was a question about what can people do in their own backyards that would fit into what SNAP is doing collectively?
Well, they could plant some of the plants for the green hair streak butterfly. They could attend a workshop at Garden for the Environment, and they could buy plants from Sutro Stewards to put the plants in. So in connection, we have a lot of great tools that they could use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sustainable Garden Series for Garden for the Environment, buy the plants from Sutro Stewards, and the plants would be those that the green hair streak butterfly can use.
Yeah, Nature in the City has a plant list on our website, on our Green Hair Streak page. So it has all of the dune native plants and what their different names are and uses. So you could print out that PDF, take it up to Sutro Stewards and say, what do you have? What can I get for my backyard?
It's a question of the chat of how is SNAP working with K-8 schools?
I think that might be Trina the most. I'm not sure.
I mean, I can attempt to speak to it a little bit. I mean, I think as a group, as you know, kind of coming together as SNAP, we're still in our pretty early stages, and so a lot of what we're doing right now is still really reaching out to, I think, like the adult public. In the area and in San Francisco. But I would say, some of the ways by extension are educating, you know, at least at Garden for the Environment, having this field trip program that has been partially funded by, the Department of the Environment through, funding that we get directly from them. You know, they have representatives going into the school before the students visit us. And so they're learning a lot about water conservation and a bit about gardening before they come in. So we definitely are providing education, not more to the younger ages, I think more like K through third or K through fourth. We temporarily expanded that during the COVID period when we were doing the online field trip programs. But that's one way that we're directly helping educate our youth about just fostering a respect and an appreciation for nature, for starting to teach them about the importance of water conservation and also protecting our oceans by not dumping in the sewers. So there is this very strong aim to teach the students about the uses of water and that portion as well, along with the gardening part. So yeah, my colleague Chris and his assistant are doing that in the spring and fall all the time. But I mean, it would be great to be able to reach more K through eight folks. And, you know, we would love to have them be at our SNAP workshops, and maybe some will show up tomorrow for the compost workshop. So the more we can get our youth involved, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any more questions? Go ahead.
We have one more slide if there are no more questions. So let me know.
I'm looking and I don't see any more questions. So go ahead with your slide.
All right. Well, we're, like we said, we're super grateful to SHARP for funding our three organizations and this collaboration. And, you know, we think SHARP is such an innovative and exciting idea to, you know, to have a meeting hall to recruit normal members of the community as members that make the decisions on grants, and then to take the funds from a San Francisco rental and send that out into the community. So we just want to commend you for participation in your community in such a generous way. Because I think we'd all want to be philanthropists, you know? It's really fun to see that you guys have stepped up into that role. And I just want to thank you personally for that. We just wanted to tell you that if you decide to fund us again for 2022, we already have some plans and ideas for you. So we wanted to share those with you. And hopefully we will be invited to submit proposals again. So I was going to take the first one. So we've been thinking a lot about there's a wonderful event called the City Nature Challenge that the Cal Academy runs. And it's a week-long sort of BioBlitz, where they go, scientists and the general public go out and collect specimens by with their iPhone and the app, the iNaturalist app, and it's expanded to different cities. And we think it would be a really wonderful event to do something in collaboration with all these orgs that we've partnered with, to come up with an urban biodiversity day or a local climate action day or some sort of celebration of all these different movements and showcasing. So we don't know what's coming next, but that's mm-hmm. one of our ideas. And I'll pass it to Ildiko for the advocacy.
Yeah, another idea is to continue with the advocacy around the San Francisco Climate Action Plan. So the plan was updated in 2021 to meet the targets of the Paris Climate Accords. So the original San Francisco Climate Action Plan was drafted in 2008, I think, a long time ago, and it had outdated emission reduction goals. So now the emission reduction goals are more ambitious in accordance with the Paris Climate Accords. And that means that the plan has been
motion detected at your front door.
And the updated plan was released in December of last year, 2021, so just a few months ago. And the San Francisco Department of the Environment drafted this plan. And they will be charged with implementing the plan, be sort of the hub of all the different spokes of the wheel that will be in charge of taking out little pieces, tackling little pieces of this plan. And they have never gotten funding from the general city government. So they need a lot more funding in order to be able to implement this plan. If this plan gets implemented, all the work that we do gets buttressed and supported and expanded upon, which means that we have a more beautiful, livable city and our children have a better chance at a better future. So one thing to do would be to continue organizing residents to pressure city supervisors and the mayor's office and city departments to actually implement this plan. That's something that so far what we've been able to do is send out little action alerts to interested parties. And it would be really amazing to be able to have more time to devote, so like an ear on the ground of what's going on, and then be able to articulate that out into digestible pieces for people to take action. Mm-hmm. So that's another idea of what we could do with another round of funding. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. I hope we can do that.
Yes, and this third bullet point here, I think really the three of us have really been talking so much over the last few months about what our organizations do, finding areas of overlap.
Motion detected at your front door.
The special features of each organization that can help the other ones be stronger organizations. So I think really keeping up with that, exploring these collaborative strategies. So we have, this first set of workshops and events that we've come up with, but there's so much more potential to, create more really interesting events and just keep exploring that and then presenting those to the public and bringing the audiences from one another's organizations in. So that they continue to be inspired and continue to learn about ways to make our environment healthier and more beautiful. And I mean, we were brainstorming a few collaborative events and some general ideas for things. But even I've jotted a couple down here. I mean, one that I had thought of is if, for instance, we wanted to do like compost workshops at your locations, or we had also talked about maybe Nature in the City and Sutro Stewards working together to present a native plant workshop at GFE, because there's a lot of interest that we've gotten on our evaluations. And then also being able to step up that notion of collaboration. So with the strength of the group as we continue to build SNAP is to invite other groups in the area in so that we can help highlight what they have to offer the community and create annual collaborative events between us but then maybe also have other events. Like, for instance, one that we thought of was the Western Neighborhoods Association. I mean, we got that beautiful photograph that shows what our environment here in the city used to look like. And right as the lockdown started, we were exploring, or I used to work at the Historical Society, and so I kind of took it upon myself to do the historical research part of for our 30th anniversary at GFE. And that's one of the first places I went to. And so it would be really interesting to maybe do an event with Western Neighborhoods Association, because they're such a valuable resource for us to get a glimpse into the past. And what's really great about them is it's not just the built environment, it's the natural environment and the way that they archive and make accessible those images. So as you can tell, we're really excited. I think they'll just, we're, you know, really, the wheels are really starting to turn, and we're really starting to think of some just fantastic ways that we can reach out to the public and just get people really engaged and just really inspired. And we really need that right now. You know, we're coming out of a hard time with COVID, where I think people just have just had such a hard time. And nature's really a way, as Ildiko was saying, you know, to help people's mental health and physical health. And I think by getting people inspired about nature and hopeful about their future coming out of all of this, if we can be a part of that, that would just be just amazing, just fascinating for us to continue to explore.
If you want more contact, Western Neighbors Project is also a good friend of Sharp, and Nicole there would probably be happy to work with you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I think more questions, but thank you so much for letting us know what you guys are doing together and separately, and how we can take advantage of all the things you're doing. But thank you again. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for everything you do in the area here. And we hope to see you all real soon.
Thank you.